Prepare yourself. You're about to listen to Super Gamescast 64 with your host, Trey Mitchell, and your other hosts, Austin Guttery and Connor Reisenhoover.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, failure!
What is up, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Super Gamescast 64. I'm your host, Trey Mitchell, and today we are down a host, Connor Reisenhoover.
Let's bring it down.
We're going to bring
it down for a second.
Bring it
this
on down.
Episode goes out to Connor's dogs.
Yeah.
They're not doing well.
They're just two little
they're troublemakers.
Scamps. They're troublemakers.
One is got eaten by a bug.
Yeah, and one's eating the other dog.
Yeah,
constantly.
We have some dog problems in the Reisenhoover house.
Problems.
So we don't have Connor today.
We don't. But you know what? We didn't decide to replace Connor with one host. We
right.
got two.
Two in the hand is worth. Wait, two.
Two in a ham. Well, one that does make sense.
One in the hand is worth two in the bush.
Or two in the ham. Because we got ham. Ham.
Hello.
We got Matt Birmingham, and Kirk.
Hey there, guys.
That's Kirk.
This is a rare Kirk appearance. We've been trying to get him on several times over the last few years,
you
and he said,
him here. "I told I this is a no Kirk zone."
Well,
and now he's here.
This is like that time when Yasser Arafat brought some of the was he the Jewish people or the Palestinian people?
Palestinian.
He brought some of the Palestinians to the West Bank. That's like this.
I just remember he would wear a tea towel every time he went to visit Bill Clinton.
That was weird. Trey's doing some sort of
promotional thing.
Promotion. We got Matt Birmingham looking like a movie star here with his sunglasses on.
Anyway, I have weird eye.
He's got his cool rings on. I guess that's just his wedding ring.
Wedding ring.
There's one reason why we have these two here today.
We are going to talk Super Mario
Maker.
Maker.
Yes, they've made some great.
What levels have you guys made?
Dungeons. Only dungeons.
Here we go.
They've made some great courses.
They did. Kirk?
I've been really trying to replicate Princess Peach's boudoir.
His but what?
Her boudoir shoot, remember?
Yes.
Where you could see her butt.
Where?
I saw it on your phone, Trey.
It's
Don't
background.
Be looking at my phone.
I saw it on your phone.
Don't be looking at my phone.
They're the two biggest.
I'm just Peach.
Field heads? Star heads? Star boys? What do you guys
fielders.
Want?
Star flares.
Star flares that we know of. They love the game. And we're going to talk. We're going to do our big Starfield segment finally. We're going to get it all out there.
Going to get it all out on the ground.
Goods, bads, truths,
fictions,
tribulations, trials.
I asked Trey to postpone the podcast so I could play more Starfield.
He did.
He's. Okay, so I asked you this before the show. How many times have you beaten it? You wouldn't say. You said we'll save it for later.
Is this the big beefy Starfield segment?
No, that's later.
Okay.
So we'll start the segment with how many times Matt has beaten it.
Okay. I'm scared to know. But what have you guys been playing besides Starfield?
I'll start, and this will be related to the Starfield segment later. Because
Starfield.
I've been playing Zelda and Diablo 4.
Yeah, you have?
I haven't really been playing any Starfield the last week.
I've been getting a hankering to go back to Zelda.
That's what I got. We'll discuss this later, but I think I might be done with Starfield.
Die.
I almost
Whoa.
Just died.
He told you to die.
I'm
dude.
Surrounded by two people who tried to punch me, and I moved out of the way, and their fists collided.
And blew up and
we fisted
created
each other.
A little yeah. Todd Howard baby floating in space.
Hasn't grabbed me like it did the first couple of weeks.
I guess we're playing footsie together.
With whom am I playing footsie?
So
thank you. So in the meantime, I felt like picking up Diablo 4 again just because I wanted some mindless smashing to do. And my wife wasn't there.
Domestic violence.
No
so
sex.
Oh, no, that was a sex joke.
Oh,
no,
oh,
no.
Sex.
Why would your mind
yeah,
go
your
there?
Mind
what are you watching on your computer?
Been having some dark
Princess
days,
Princess Peach
Matt.
Getting bashed.
Railed.
Brailed.
Some Brazzers.
Why is your some Princess Peach blind?
Super Mario Brazzers. I said railed.
You said brailed.
Brailed.
We can go back and check the tape.
Nah, let's not do that.
No,
we could since Connor's not here. We don't have to sync it up.
I have been playing Necromancer, which is super fun, which is what I usually
Isn't
play.
Isn't that... Didn't they do a Zelda version of that?
Is that having sex with corpses?
You're thinking of Necrodancer.
Oh, I am, yes.
You're thinking of Necrophilia.
Oh, is that the same thing?
I am playing a Necromancer character in Diablo 4.
Because
I love exploding corpses and having an army of undead skeletons.
Exploring them sexually?
Yes.
Yeah.
Their bodies.
What else do you do in that game?
I don't know.
It's a game about Satan.
It's about Satan? Exploring bodies.
And I've been jumping back on Zelda and play a little Minesweeper on my phone. You know how it goes.
How it goes.
But that's what I've been playing.
Kirk?
I fired up GTA 5 yesterday.
I was in an Uber with a dude, and he was like, dude, what video games you play? Because on your Uber, you can have a little profile, and it says what your interests are. I put, I do a video game podcast. And so sometimes...
Wait, so this is almost like a dating app.
It is.
Did you fuck this man?
Did this man fuck you?
No, no one
is
got
this like
fucked.
A crazy taxi situation?
No one was fucked or got fucked, but he's okay, like, but I play GTA 5 with a bunch of buddies. You
do you drive
the
bang bus?
There's no bang bus.
There is a bang bus. It's
There's
just
not a bang
fictional.
Bus.
But you could pick up some saucy ladies.
I have picked up saucy ladies
under
who are
or
on the
overage. And
well, I don't go underage. That's
okay,
some other people do.
That was a trap. But you could, if you had similar interest to a lady rider, you could hit it off.
That's a little... It's a little weird with the lady because it's like, God, I feel like a weirdo.
They want to be immediately bombarded
right.
with proposals
Probably,
for
yeah.
dating.
Right.
Anyway, Kirk.
So, well, yeah. So this gentleman who told me he would just got some ketamine hits.
Oh.
Ketamine. Said we should play some GTA 5. Kirk, how you liking GTA 5?
Well,
are you on ketamine right now?
I wish.
Yeah.
No, I had this morbid curiosity after playing Starfield for like countless freaking hours because part of me thought, you know, let's go back in time to 2014 or whenever.
It's been 10 years. What? It's 2012 that game came out. Or 2013, I'm sorry. 2013,
yeah, it's been 10 years. And I just remembered the other day I stuck a gun in somebody's face City and Starfield.
In the game?
No, like you pull it out, and there was there was just this expressionless reaction, and then I did the same thing in GTA, and people like freaked out and ran away, and I was just thinking like, man, they really haven't changed much for the AI in Starfield.
You're talking about the Starfield NPCs, how they're kind of like cardboard sometimes. That's one of my biggest gripes.
Yeah, I can think to, you know, not trying to do any spoilers here, but, like, I joined the Crimson Fleet Pirates, and, you know, as part of a quest, and my character is a bounty hunter, and I took a quest to kill an outlaw pirate at an abandoned mining base. So, you know, I take my loading screen down to the base, I get in the cave, and you know, there's lots of pirates to greet me, and they greet me. They're very genial because I'm a member of the Crimson Fleet Pirates, and then I just casually walk up to their outlaw leader, pop him in the head, and
nothing.
Well, wouldn't you know it, nothing.
Mutiny, no, like,
nope.
People coming at you,
they're not mad or anything.
Maybe they didn't like him. Maybe he was a bad boss. Maybe he was a raper.
Well, here's the
rapier.
Thing. Here's the thing, though. They actually did do something, but it wasn't what I really expected. They started just running around in circles and clipping into each other and colliding with each other. Just imagine, like, a dungeon full of, like...
But maybe that was the bit. Like, because I know they've done bits in Fallout and stuff where it's just weird shit happening.
It was 40 of them.
Yeah,
and
but like, wasn't there? Isn't there one like
the
vault?
Same mannerisms and bumping into? Because
this is like a bounty thing where like you're supposed to mow down all these people, but for whatever reason, if you're in the Crimson Fleet and you track down a Crimson Fleet member or captain to kill, it'll still allow you to kill that person with no consequence to the fleet.
It would be a fun bit if they weren't clipping into each other. That's indicative of a poorly programmed bit.
But they would also like they would. Follow me into just different compartments of the lab and just open doors and close them, but they were just running around in circles. It was the most bizarre thing, and after that happened, I didn't play for like 2 days.
I've had moments like that where a game did something either intentional or unintentionally where a piece of it broke or something and it really broke the immersion, and I just felt kind of sad picking it back up. I can't think of any examples, but I will at some point.
Yeah,
I'll come back.
Well, we'll get those examples when we get to the big Seggy. Yeah. I've not been... Well...
Huh?
I did play some more Zelda. I picked it up, diddled with it a little bit. Yeah, I said it. I did have an Uber story today, and I wish Connor was here. So
you fuck somebody?
Huh? Do I do what? I didn't do anything to anybody. So I'm in Irving Convention Center, where we'll have fun with your P1s. I'm in Irving, and I drop these two people off at a store. And it's like one of those little like kind of shopping trip centers, you know, and then there was like a Quick Trip, you know, over here by the street. And I'm trying to get now to the road. What's the
Quick Trip?
I try to get to the road, and there is a pretty much have to go through the parking lot of Quick Trip to get to the
yeah, you do.
Road.
Quick Trip sucks.
And
sucks.
There is a car that's going really, really slow. It just keeps going slower and slower, and they go to a stop. And this is like, in front, here's like the Quick Trip. There's cars, there's a road, me, and then this car stopped. And I hear this other car, and another car who's kind of in front of that car, press on their horn, honk.
See, this is the kind of patrons you get at Quick Trip.
And then I honk. I just give a little honk. And from the side, so like nothing to do with the cars that are involved, from like, it's like the guy is coming out from like behind two other cars in front of me. He's like, he's wearing a UT shirt. He starts yelling at me. He's like, "What the fuck, bud? Huh?" And he comes at me. He's like, "Get the fuck out of the car. Get it out of the car."
You saw your North Texas shirt. That's
maybe
why.
He saw the UNT shirt.
The big rivalry.
Yeah. It was a big rivalry.
Hey, man.
But he's like hitting my window. And at first, I'm just like, it was them. I didn't honk at you. And he's just like, "Yo, come on, get out. Get out of the car." I'm just like, what the fuck are you doing, dude?
Did you cry and or wet your pants?
No, because like, what?
You need
you
to keep a fake gun in your car.
I probably do.
Just like a piece of wood
like,
that
I
looks
don't
like a gun.
Like, this is like midday. It's like noon.
In America.
In America. I don't get it. Like, what is he upset about?
You
what, that I honked?
Him.
I didn't honk at him. I don't even know where he was. Maybe, I don't know if I...
You don't know the day he's having.
Don't know what I did.
What if he just lost his job? What if his wife was in one of the towers? What if his job
was
lost?
Towers?
Yeah.
What
well,
if he had,
had
a
20s.
What if he had an uncle in Columbine?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh. Well, he probably
what,
has enough.
What if
time
he had a big old
that.
Rock in his shoe?
I mean,
you know?
It's been over 20.
Did you
years.
Check his shoe?
I didn't check his shoe.
Did you?
I didn't get out of the car.
You should have gotten
me
out.
Was like, maybe I should have gotten out of the car
and hugged him
and have him punch me a few times, beat me up, and then I'd get the insurance money.
You're at a sad point in your life when that's what
I'd
you're
get money
concerned.
Maybe
from
I should
lawsuit.
Get pummeled here.
Maybe I should
yeah,
risk brain damage.
I could press charges and get money from the lawsuit.
You that still would have lost.
Still would have lost?
Yeah, lost the lawsuit.
Why?
Just knowing your luck. I don't know.
Probably.
Why'd you get out of your car?
I wanted to die.
Oh, my God.
Trey's at a pretty low point. In this
I've
place.
Been watching BoJack Horseman. Dude.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's not good.
It doesn't get any lower than
does
that.
Does not get any lower. But that was my experience today. And then I got, this is very
well,
very much a TC
You know where
story.
You won't find people like that?
What?
The nice parking lots of 7-Eleven.
That's true. Except I have a question. Why do the 7-Eleven bathrooms look so gross?
That is on a per franchise basis.
Each 7-Eleven bathroom I go to is disgusting.
Because people don't go there for the bathrooms. They go there
it
for
looks
the snacks.
Like
the plethora
when,
of snacks.
When, it looks like when Charlize Theron was in the movie Monster and
I
she's going
it.
In having a whore bath.
I knew we were getting
it's
to, a,
disgusting.
To a movie at some point.
And you need to fix it.
Okay, tell me what store it was.
Every store.
I'll report it.
Every single store.
Okay, I'll report them tomorrow.
Have whore bathrooms.
Trey, what do you think happens to chili dogs after they get eaten?
They go into the 7-Eleven bathrooms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They digest too quickly to not be digested by the time you get out of the store.
Mm-hmm.
They go from chili dog to chili log.
There you go. Oh,
that's why.
Brilliant.
That's why okay. He's a marketing master.
That's God. Why he's at the ticket and we're not.
Matt. So if you're done, I've been playing Aliens Dark Descent before I started playing Starfield before it came out.
Okay.
Is this related to the Aliens film franchise? Or is
yes.
This, okay. This isn't like Destroy All Humans?
It is not, no.
Okay.
It is like a third person you kind of click to tell your little group of people where to go.
Oh, is this like
XCOM?
XCOM, yeah.
Or is this
don't
like
know what that is.
XCOM is who makes that?
Real-time strategy.
That's Firaxis, right?
Yeah.
It's like Mario Rabbids, but like X-Files.
It's like a tactics game, right?
Yeah, it's okay. Very tactic-y, Trey. Yeah.
Oh, there he goes. He
walked out.
No, he's taking a nap. Anyway, go on about.
He's
going to
go piss with his
rabbits.
Door open still.
Air conditioning. God, it's hot in here.
Trey's got prostate issues.
I don't have prostate issues.
Do you need that checked out?
I'm doing fine.
He has to have, see those things on his microwave? He has to have one of those, a full one every
day. Oh, my
day.
God.
Every day.
It's like a giant
thing.
They're
kind
of
gross,
way.
Actually. I got the wrong ones.
Can I have
you want one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll give you one.
But very fun game.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I
who makes
like
this?
$30
for Firaxis?
Okay. No, Firaxis makes
Alien
XCOM.
What?
Aliens Dark Descent.
Alien what?
Wait, we got Alien?
You got Alien on your video games?
Alien to video games? What are they going to think of next? It's Tandalos Interactive.
I got 9 out of 10.
Developer.
How old is this game?
It came out this year.
Yeah, it came out earlier, like maybe.
Okay.
June 20th, 2023.
Ooh, fun game.
Last day of spring.
Is Alien Descent worth it? Without a doubt, the best Alien experience since Alien Isolation.
Well, that's not a lot. There's been like 2 alien games.
Yeah, wasn't like one of them like a disaster? It was Alien
Your
Covenant.
Alien Marines or something?
Alien Covenant
Colonial
was the
Marines
movie.
Was the disaster.
Space
yeah,
Marines
yeah, yeah.
or something? Kirk, you know
Colonial Marines.
Colonial Marines.
So what kind of locales does it take place in? Are you on a ship usually? Or are you going on to a planet?
It takes place on a space station to begin with, and then you go down to a planet called Lethe, which I believe is a made-up planet, mm-hmm. and it takes place primarily there with the alien outbreak.
Okay.
And then essentially what happens is you have to get off planet because you're stranded on there as the aliens begin to infest the planet. So
nice.
As you progress through the game, like every time you end a mission or you start another mission, it progresses a day and the alien infestation grows on
Dude,
the
I
planet.
Love, I love that about the Aliens movies so much. It's
so
just,
like
yeah.
as you're progressing through the game, like the aliens, there's more and more.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Aliens.
Aliens.
Dark Descent.
Got that weird green goo stuff. The
acid blood.
Yeah, the acid
blood. It does
look
pretty cool. It looks almost like a mix of like Advanced Wars and Fire Emblem and StarCraft. And
yeah,
it
was very StarCraft-y feel.
Keep naming games, Austin.
Animal Crossing
yeah.
and
Pikmin.
Minesweeper and Pikmin.
You have any interest in Pikmin 4?
No.
I think that's what I'm going to start, like maybe tonight.
Ooh.
Is that on?
You don't have any interest on Pikmin 4?
That's on GameCube, right?
Oh, I'll teach
the
you.
The original. The Orgy original.
The Orgy?
Orgy original.
I'll learn you. You'll like some Pikmin after I'm done with you.
As long as it doesn't take me away from playing Starfield.
That's
well,
fine. It probably will.
Okay. Well, thank you, Matt.
Thank you for having me.
And let's.
Wait, you're kicking me out?
Yeah, you're out. You're out of here.
God damn it.
Let's take a break, and then we'll talk some news.
Or more UT Man.
Yes, more UT Man next. All right, we're back. And before we do the news, we got to do the news song. Matt, I need you, or Kirk, actually.
Look, I don't know the Starfield theme song.
So, Kirk, I need you to give Austin, or Matt, give Austin a song for Austin to sing the news theme to.
What do you mean? Like, oh, like a
the
song.
Tune.
Oh, a tune. Yeah. New York, New York by Frank Sinatra.
Okay.
In memory of 9/11.
In memory of 9/11.
Games cast, games news. It's a hell of a show. I'm remembering now that I only remember the New York, New York part. It's a hell of a town. Oh wait, I got the top of the hill. Hey, no, is it that one?
What's
okay.
been on the news?
We've got Gamescasts. It's news. Here comes the games. Connor and Trey, they've got the
well,
news.
Connor's not here.
It's the Gamescasts news.
Cool. That's news.
I think I got about half of it.
We have a massive Xbox leak, guys.
What's leaking out of it?
Leak this week brought us a wonderful treasure trove of leaks from deep inside the high echelons of Microsoft's Xbox division.
Why'd you pause there? Knee high. Pause for effect.
Pause for effect.
Echelons.
I'm an actor now, Matt, okay?
Do you not know the word echelon?
I have to pause.
Echelon.
No way that's a word.
Define echelon.
No way that's the word.
Trey, define echelon.
He's going to move
peak,
on.
A peek.
Whoa.
A peek.
Trey just did a...
This is shared because of the FTC...
I like
Activision,
TC.
Not TC Fleming. FTC, you know, acquisition. Activision acquisition. Confidential emails have been leaked. So the big one is Microsoft considered buying Nintendo. So there was a leaked email. Phil Spencer and Microsoft personnel discussed a possible acquisition of Nintendo.
The way he worded this whole thing, as if he could just like waltz in and be like, hey, Nintendo, here's some bucks. We know you want to get bought by us.
Give me all your Marios and Donkey Kongs.
Yeah.
Phil Spencer says at some point, getting Nintendo would be a career moment. He speculated that the Japanese game giant could become more open to acquisition offers in the future due to changing pressures on its board of directors. It just takes a long time for Nintendo to realize that their future exists off of their own hardware. A long time.
There is zero chance Nintendo has any interest in being bought by anyone, really. More or less Microsoft.
Yeah, I don't think so. Maybe in 15 years if things are going really bad, but I mean, you know, it's going really well now.
Remember back in the day they like torpedoed Sega of America because it was doing better than Sega Japan? They're just not going to do that shit.
No.
They're Japanese through and through, and I don't think they would turn their backs on just like the cornerstone of culture that they are for their nation.
The email also reveals that Microsoft thought about purchasing Valve and Warner Bros. Games.
I hate the hubris of these people where they just are like cherry-picking who they can buy as if these people are just open to purchase by Microsoft.
What are they, Elon Musk?
I hate Phil Spencer.
I think Phil Spencer was talking about why they couldn't get Nintendo, but I don't know.
But the way he speaks about it, he's like, that's my white whale. I'm going to get him one day. Like, I don't know. Like, Nintendo's not in any trouble. If anything, they're maybe at their peak right now.
I think they probably are.
Like, are we experiencing the golden age or the peak?
Man, I don't know. Like, you got to compare that to the NES. Because NES, that's when Nintendo was... It was synonymous with video games. Like, you wouldn't say... When you wanted a video game console, you would say, I want a Nintendo.
Yeah.
Like, that was it. Nowadays, no. It's not that brand name.
Yeah.
But it's...
I mean, the
Wii was like their peak after the NES.
I feel like they're doing their best work right now.
Yes,
though.
Well,
as far as hardware and the lineup of award-winning software,
you could argue, and there are arguments that their games have been lackluster a little
bit. Maybe, but they successfully combined their handheld and console division, and they've made basically like the ultimate.
This is killing Trey.
Trey has just passed away.
Yeah.
At the mic, like I predicted Norm would.
Ooh.
What?
I figured Norm would just go till he croaked. Next.
What?
Bethesda might be working on an Oblivion remaster.
In.
I'd be in too. I've not played Oblivion.
What?
No, never played Oblivion. That was my dark period. I did not play Oblivion.
Why not?
I wasn't into video games at that point.
He was into girls.
Yeah, I was into girls.
What are you, straight? Jeez.
So yeah, I guess...
Oblivion, very fun, by the way.
Bethesda's roadmap was among the many recent released Xbox documents. It includes a sequel to Ghostwire Tokyo, Dishonored 3, a remaster of Fallout 3, Elder Scrolls Oblivion.
I really liked Oblivion for the first, 20, 30, 40 hours.
Hold it right there.
The hero of Kavach. I really started to dislike it after a while because the whole world levels up with you and you never feel like you make
any progress.
Any progress.
Yeah.
No matter how good weapons you get.
Oh,
no
cool. I got this great equipment and everybody else kind of does too.
Yeah. And all the little demons and imps level up too. And you're like, well, it just takes 50 hits to kill one every time.
And you just got bandits coming at you in glass armor.
Yeah. Like, there's no way this bandit could afford, like, the greatest fucking armor.
I would love a...
How'd you get obsidian armor, you son of a bitch?
I would love an Oblivion, like, rebuild, where maybe they rework
like
some of the
too, yeah.
some of the systems to be a little more Skyrim-y.
Make them juggier.
Yeah.
The NPCs.
That's what I'm talking about.
I want to see a juggy Argonian.
Dragon on the ground.
Yes. Yes.
Phil Spencer says, AAA publishers have lost their mojo.
Oh, hold on, hold on. Back to that list. Did you see what else was on that possible release? So this list was...
Ghostwire Tokyo.
From 2020, right? This was a leaked, like, roadmap of Bethesda over the next few years,
yes.
starting in 2020.
Yeah.
Did you see what was on the roadmap for 2024?
That's a year from now.
Elder Scrolls 6.
No, it wasn't.
So no, it was. It was on the... It was... slated for like an early 2020.
Elder Scrolls 6 definitely isn't coming to PlayStation.
Okay,
PlayStation.
Back up. It, on that list, on the full list, it said early 2024, Elder Scrolls 6. Now
that was
this,
in 2020.
Right, before the pandemic. So it's, they said it's coming out 2026 at
no,
the earliest.
Dude, they've just said that they're like getting into early production on
Did
it.
Did you hear what I just said? They said it's
He's
coming
not
out.
Listening to you.
He's not, which is typical of this show.
Yeah.
They said it's coming out 2026 at the earliest. But
okay.
if everything had stayed on schedule and there was no pandemic, we could be playing Elder Scrolls 6 within a few months in a different timeline.
Did you go to coffee shop to do Dance Dance Revolution?
Oh, I was hoping everyone had forgotten about that. No, I have not taken my Oculus to Starbucks.
Oh, yeah, you
to
need
play
to do
Beat
that.
Saber.
We need to do that.
Kirky, where
Thank
this
you,
bet?
Matt.
I lost a bet regarding Elder Scrolls 6, and I have to take my Oculus to a Starbucks and play Beat Saber
for
like,
3 hours.
I think it was like
I think
20
it was 3
minutes.
Hours.
Yeah, I remember
yeah.
3 hours
three
when we recorded.
Hours, but I got to
yeah.
sit in a chair and just play Beat Saber to play Crab Rave.
We do need to do this soon. I'm going to remember.
Trey's going to film it.
Let's go
on
the busiest PSL day when all the white girls are in there.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Spencer says AAA game publishers have lost their mojo. So he said AAA publishers are slow to react. The disruption of digital storefronts like Steam and the shops built into Xbox and PlayStation. In a leaked email, Spencer wrote that third-party publishers were unable to replicate the dominance they established back in the days of video game retail. After losing their advantage of highly exclusive access to consumers in brick-and-mortar stores, they have not found a way to effectively cross-promote. They have not found a way to build publisher brands that drive consumer affinity.
I have no idea what you just said.
Pretty much, it's been hard for these publishers to build
tough
like
times. It's a new yeah, normal.
It's a new norm.
It is a new normal, but the thing is, right?
What's my hand?
Gosh, you know
is
we've
your
seen
whole body blowing up now. What's going on with your body,
kind of
dude?
Sure, Kirk is speaking.
Oh, Kirk, go ahead.
Sorry. But, you know, this just goes to show we've seen disruption in every kind of media, right? Like Netflix and Disney Plus.
Yeah.
Like. Those models have all been upset, you know. Peacock's kind of floundering right now. Paramount Plus, people are wondering if Paramount is even going to be around as an independent company anymore. So you just have this hugely fragmented ecosystem. And, you know, you see powers like Microsoft with the xCloud trying to get on top of things. But, yeah, like people are not buying retail units as much as they did anymore, and you can also see that, you know, the price of games hasn't really scaled with inflation,
right?
Because they've had to keep prices low, and of course AAA game, like, it is so hard to even make a AAA
it's
game
so expensive
days.
To make them now, yeah,
it's so expensive to make, it takes so much time. Technology keeps getting better, but there's not enough manpower and expertise and budget to even fill out those shoes. That
well, think about like the PS3 era and the Xbox 360 era. So many big games are coming out constantly, and like nowadays, I mean, just take, you know, I want to talk to Kirk because Austin's gonna give me a bad look. Like
Why?
Take Naughty Dog with, they made 3 Uncharted games, and The Last of Us in one, you know, console generation, and they only had 2 games in the PS4 era. You know, they had Uncharted 4 and The Last of Us Part 2.
I feel like smaller developers are getting so good at making... There's a game category in between small indie game, like Undertale, and then a huge AAA game. There's some sort of middle
game.
Ground.
B-tier game. Those games don't exist anymore.
Well, no, I'm saying I think feel like that's what's flourishing now, like Cult of the Lamb, stuff like that, where you don't need a huge.
That's technically indie though.
Okay, a little bigger than that. Something
I mean,
like
Hellblade was something that, but now
like
that's
Deathloop or like Pikmin
Deathloop,
4.
Those
Pikmin.
Matt loves Pikmin.
Matt does love Pikmin. Matt, you should bring up Pikmin tomorrow on the Hardline.
Yeah, that'll go for
Yeah, you should.
Actually, honestly, like now that you bring that up, think about Nintendo's strategy. They've been putting out lots of quality games, but how many could you say fall into that middling tier of, you know, not being like super blockbuster like
Splatoon?
Splatoon
is huge in Japan.
But development-wise, there's not a whole ton that really goes into making those games and building them out. You got a very small hub world. You have like very tight gameplay mechanics, but you're not like doing the whole Ubisoft thing, and you're not doing the whole Naughty Dog thing, or like you know, the Rockstar thing, where it's trying to just put
you're spending
10
years
straight.
To do one game. You know,
I feel like you only have a few of those left who are good at that, like Bethesda. That's their thing. And there's a market for that, but I feel like the payout for making a middle-sized game versus making a huge game, the proportions are not equal to the amount of investment you have to make, and I feel like you're getting such good quality middle-ground games that's probably the future of it.
Mm-hmm.
And those games come with a lot more replay value, I feel like, than big cyberpunks.
I'm with you.
Yeah,
though that new Cyberpunk DLC has gotten like rave reviews. I really want to play that. I think I might play that besides Starfield, because that's sort of how I'm feeling right now.
Yeah, honestly, I'm thinking the same thing.
Hell
you know,
yeah, brother.
Maybe it is the game that we thought it would all be when it released originally.
Yeah. Also, speaking of Rockstar, Microsoft expected a Red Dead Redemption 2 next-gen refresh. They expected that in 2022. It didn't happen, though. I think we've talked about that before.
Okay.
Let's move on. Unity vows to change controversial new pricing policy.
No, I don't think we covered this last week.
We didn't.
I think this started like last Thursday.
Yeah.
Unity said they were going to implement a pricing change where developers over a certain threshold would have to pay 20 cents per install.
Right.
So each time a user installed their game, so if you uninstalled it and reinstalled it on your machine, they'd have to pay another 20 cents to Unity.
That's weird, yeah.
And developers were pissed.
Unity says, we have heard you and we apologize for the confusion and angst the runtime fee policy we announced on Tuesday caused. We are listening, talking to our team members, community, customers, and partners, and we'll be making changes to the policy. We will share an update in a couple of...
Well, smaller developers were mad because they were like, some guy calculated, he was like, if I took all the installs that my game has had, I would owe Unity $5.5 million at this point. And they're like, we just don't have that kind of money.
What was the whole, like, catalyst of this?
Unity hired the EA, the former head of EA, who basically comes in and shits everything up to make money really fast.
Yeah.
And this, I guess, was a scheme for them to be like, hey, we're going to like do this thing that has no benefit to the developers or the consumers, but just makes us more money from the developers. And they were really mad. Yeah. And also because someone who is mad at a developer can write a script that basically uninstalls and reinstalls the game thousands of times every hour and charge them thousands of dollars.
Yeah, that sounds like a bad idea.
And this is an example of the court of public opinion, where there was enough pressure from developers and from consumers that Unity is at least trying to backpedal. I don't know. They're probably not going to change anything.
Update on Monday, Bloomberg published a report outlining the tentative new plan for Unity runtime fees.
Oh.
Bloomberg obtained a recording of an all-hands meeting where CEO John Riccitiello told staff is...
Wait, you wouldn't do that with a Japanese name, would you?
Riccitiello.
R-I-C-C-I-E-T-I-E-L-O. Oh, should I get all Miyamoto?
Told staff it's time. It may limit fees to 4% of a game's revenue for customers making over $1 million. And noted
but
that
like,
the installations racked up to meet the threshold won't count towards the fees, meaning that developers will pay for installs only after meeting the requirements.
But, like, why?
I don't know.
What is the purported...
Do they need money? Are they...
I don't think they need money, but these are usually wrapped in some thinly veiled, hey, here's a benefit to the developer, but it didn't seem like there was one. It just seemed like, hey, here's a new fee we're
tacking
on.
They just want money, yeah.
Yeah.
They just want to put a fee on.
Fee from Skyward Sword.
Speaking of Skyward Sword, Nintendo briefed Activision on the Switch 2 last year.
Yeah, there were rumors near the end of last year about some developers getting Switch 2 kits, and we figured those were just kind of rumors, but I mean, they've got to start developing those games at least a year out.
Nintendo has been briefing key partner studios on its next generation Nintendo Switch hardware ahead of the console's reported 2024 release, according to multiple reports. We now know that one of the companies is Activision, thanks to the new filings in the Federal Trade Commission versus Microsoft case. I feel like... never mind. I'm not going to...
No. You've already started.
I'll say it after the show.
You've already started.
No, I'm not going to say it after the show.
You have to say it.
I'm going to say it after the show.
Okay. I'm going to record you.
The FTC Microsoft thing is giving us a lot of info about certain companies we know and love.
This is why Microsoft wanted to avoid this like the plague. Because all this shit is coming.
All this shit's coming to light. But it's exciting, you know? Right, Matt?
Yeah, we get Switch 2 news.
Are you excited for Switch 2, Matt?
Sure. My wife will be excited.
Okay.
I texted you and Connor what my favorite name is for it. I think Super Nintendo Switch is kind of the front runner on the internet, and it's my personal favorite for the name of the new console.
Switch 360.
Nice. Ooh. Switch 5.
Just go with 5.
Just skip 2, 3, and 4.
Yeah.
Switch 1.
I like it. We got 2 directs, then we can get into some Starfield talk.
Okay.
We have Paper... so there was a Nintendo Direct. We didn't get too much, but we got Paper Mario Thousand Year Door Remake.
That's considered the best Paper Mario, right?
I do want to play it. I've heard this game's great.
Yeah.
Trey wants to play a game? No way.
He won't play it, though.
No, he won't. It'll be on his shelf for like 3 months.
Maybe.
And he'll play it.
How was Deathloop, by the way?
Don't worry about it. this is good because this game is like one of those extremely expensive GameCube games that... are like marked up to like hundreds of dollars, you know, to buy it. And now that will make those prices go down. Right, Kirk?
Sure will.
We got Mario vs. Donkey Kong.
Actually, like, have a look at these, you know. You got Paper Mario. Like, these are kind of those middle of the road games I was talking about. You know,
just shut the mic in your mouth.
They do take a lot of like careful crafted development, but they're also not like these all expansive worlds. They're like focused. They're focused on gameplay. They're focused on replayability and fun. And I think like Nintendo's really been able to corner that specific section of the market with these fun games that don't even take up too many system resources either.
Well, I was reading online that this is fairly typical for a console at the end of its life cycle, is to pump out a bunch of remasters that can tide people over until the developers have, you know, made their new games and stuff. So I think that's probably what we're getting. Plus, they're trying to push Mario real big with, you know, another Mario movie coming out and keeping the hype going for the Super Nintendo Switch.
Yeah, where's my Wind Waker Twilight Princess HD remakes coming?
I thought you said Windbreaker.
Windbreaker. Yeah. I need a Wind Waker Windbreaker.
Ooh.
I like that. I want it. Mario v. Donkey Kong, any interest in that, guys?
You know, it looked like a fun puzzler. It also looks a lot like a mobile game.
Yeah, it does.
I've never heard of this. This is an old, like, NES game or arcade game, right?
Yeah.
And it's like a remake of it?
Yeah, like old arcade, yeah.
Yeah, this looks like something they'll put out.
When Chris Pratt said what his favorite Nintendo game was, it was this.
Oh.
So, he's a liar.
Okay.
We got Splatoon 3, side order expansion.
That actually,
Skip. We got Super Mario. I'm kidding. Kirk,
oh, no.
Go ahead.
The Splatoon 3 looked kind of like what I wanted the Overwatch PvE to be like.
Oh, really?
Ooh. Shots fired.
They were able to do it for Splatoon. Why couldn't they just do it for Overwatch?
Come on, guys. Super Mario RPG remake. I'm excited for this.
Speaking of Overwatch, do we have the big Overwatch news about Elon and Grimes?
No.
How he kind of bullied her into cosplaying sexy Mercy for him.
Oh, he did?
And there's a picture of her looking real sad in a Mercy cosplay.
God, that's great. We got another code recollection.
Skip.
Princess Peach Showtime.
Boy, oy, oy.
I liked Peach's versatility in this. She could be a swashbuckler or a doctor or a baker.
Women can do anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Barbie movie showed us.
She's a referee.
Yeah.
It's like the Barbie movie of video games.
I can be a referee too.
Cool.
That's great. Detective Peek returns. I guess that was already announced. You know, yeah, like a lot of these are like things we already know about, like Luigi's Mansion 2 HD. Oh, F-Zero 99.
Hopefully, I am pumped about this.
I think it's already out, right?
Yeah, it is already out. I haven't been able to fire it up yet, but all the like superstructure level thing where you can like get ahead. They added some fun mechanics that I think will be pretty cool to see.
We got WarioWare Move It, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe Booster, a lot of the stuff we already kind of know about. And then we got
Trey, didn't you say that Pauline is really hot from Mario? Because I agree with you.
Yeah, she is.
She's very realistically
she is.
Like animated. Yeah.
Is Pauline the one from
Donkey Kong?
Yeah, but also she was in
Odyssey.
Super Mario Odyssey.
Mm-hmm.
Odyssey.
Trombone Champ.
Yeah, I don't know.
Tomb Raider, a bunch of really Japanese stuff.
Trombone Champ's cool.
You know, this was a very un-anime game direct. There's usually like a
ton of them.
50 to 60% anime.
But if you want anime, we'll go over to the PlayStation State of Play.
Ooh, nap
time. We got Final Fantasy VII Rebirth release date. This is the sequel to Final Fantasy VII Remake, which I really enjoyed. And this is coming out on February 29th, 2024. It's a sequel to VII Remake that I played in 2020 during the pandy. And me and Chris the Field spent 5 hours one night finishing it.
Great, just get through the next part.
We got Marvel Spider-Man 2. We got another trailer for that. I'm very excited for Marvel Spider-Man 2. Are you excited for that? Do you play Spider-Man?
I don't have the new system, so I can't play it.
Okay. Resident Evil 4 Remake DLC. You guys excited for that?
Yeah.
Tales
I'm just waiting
of Arise.
For it to go on sale.
Yeah. Helldivers 2. We got some more Helldivers 2. I know Helldivers 1 is supposed to be a really fun game.
I liked Helldivers 1. It was kind of like Diablo-esque mixed with like some twin stick shooter action.
Mm-hmm. Avatar Frontier of Pandora.
Adam.
He does love Avatar.
R.I.P.
Our friend Adam. R.I.P. Yeah, he died. A game called Baby Steps, which looks like Quap and Ape Out. Oh, this is by the Quap and Ape Out director. Look at this, Austin. It's like the silly guy. And you have to move.
You just have to learn how to walk?
Yeah.
This is a game for babies?
Yeah, it's a little baby game. You have to make him walk. He's a funny guy. We got some anime. We got some new PlayStation 5.
Foam Stars is not anime. That is the PlayStation Splatoon clone.
Oh.
With the sexy anime lady in it.
Well, we know Austin's interested. And that's about it for that. So that's the news. That's the news that's all fit to print, as Connor would say. That's all the news fit to print. And now that we're 43 minutes into this podcast,
I think
we should talk Starfield. So, Matt, the first question we want to know from you on the Starfield conversation, unless you want to take a break. I'm fine going right to it.
Let's go right to it.
How many times have you beaten Starfield?
Zero times.
Whoa!
Technically.
Okay. What do you mean technically?
You said you have multiple characters, though. Have you
roll
just...
rolling credits is beat.
Then no times.
But you've made different characters and started over?
Correct.
Okay.
The reason being, so first time playing a game, I'll make a character based off of myself. I made a Matthew Hamm character. He was a space scoundrel.
Same.
That's what I picked.
I got him to level 39 before I started doing like the main quest and everything like that. So total.
How long did that take?
Total time spent on Matthew Hamm. It's over 3 days.
Okay.
Total?
Total time.
So 40 hours or something?
Yes.
Okay.
Wait, what? 72 hours.
3 days.
Do you not know how many hours in a day?
12.
So, like,
I'm thinking
what's your
months.
Schedule of playing this game?
So, I got back from vacation, which I could get into in a little bit, on September 2nd, and I started playing at that point pretty much 12 hours a day. So, on weekends, I'm pretty much playing, like, 15 hours a day. My wife has to remind me to take care of myself via eating and going outside
to the bathroom
to look at sun.
Yeah.
And so I've been devoting pretty much all my weekends, about a day every weekend, to playing Starfield. And so I had to put in about 3 days into Matthew Ham, and I got to the last quest. And in the last quest, there is a point where you finish it, and it's supposed to kind of transition you to New Game Plus. I won't try to spoil anything here.
I did hear there's some beef with New Game Plus.
Please don't. I don't want to.
No, I don't know what it is specifically.
I've heard that's like supposed to be really like. It was compared to Nier Automata. New Game Plus is, so I don't want to hear it because I know that game is pretty special. What they do with New Game Plus,
Trey, you're not going to play Nier Automata.
I'm going to.
You're not
going
to beat Starfield either.
I might not. I'm going to beat Zelda though.
When's the last game you beat?
Last game I beat
off to.
Oh,
Metroid Prime. Oh wait, no, you did like 3 hours of that.
No, I didn't.
Dead Space. No.
Resident Evil 4.
Okay.
The remake?
No, not the remake.
So I get to last quest that will lead you into New Game Plus, and the game bugged out to where it won't start the last quest. And so I looked online to figure out what to do about this. And this is a common problem that people are having, to where if you don't reload prior to the last quest starting that leads to New Game Plus, you're kind of stuck until they patch the game. And so my problem was that as I'm doing the last quest, since I've been playing this character for about 3.5 days or whatever, is that I had so many saves that the game stopped me in the middle of the quest and said, hey, you need to like delete some of your saves, or else we're not going to autosave your game anymore. So I deleted everything prior to me starting that quest, because like, why would I need to reload before then? So that character is stuck because I can't reload to before the quest began.
The same thing happened to me in Oblivion, and I learned my lesson to keep like 4 or 5 saves.
Yeah.
Are you auto saving or quick? Like, are you quick saving?
I'm
or
quick
hard
saving. I'm auto saving, and I'm hard saving.
Okay.
I'll hard save if I'm about to turn off my console. I'll quick save before I get into a big fight, and then auto save. I have it set to, I think, every 10 minutes or whatever. But the game warned me, you need to like free up some space with your saves so that we could start auto-saving. And I was like, well, I don't want that to happen because I put so much time in this character. So I deleted about a couple hundred saves. And because I did that, I can't go to New Game Plus. Jeez. So at that point, I started a new character. And that character I've been playing.
Do you still have that file with that character?
Yeah.
Your wife was so happy that you were almost done with this.
Yeah.
She's like,
well,
oh, thank
I
got to
start over.
Like, I got to start a new character, which I was going to do at some point anyways. And my new character is a bounty hunter. I've been playing him. He's level 22. I've been playing him now for 1 day and 9 hours.
Is he...
So I'm over 4 days, maybe 5 days at this point.
Is he Hat Man?
What?
Hat. I'm trying to flip Matt Ham to Hat...
Hat Mermingbam?
Hat Mermingbam.
No, he's not. I went to like a Star Wars name generator and just generated generic name.
Uh-huh.
His name is Gar Grok.
Gar Grok.
And that's only because, and when I got that, I go, oh, I should name him Regonk. So I named him Regonk, but Vasco will not say his name in the game for whatever reason. I thought it was going to be some sort of system where like he'll try to pronounce it somehow.
Uh-huh.
But it's not like that, so he just kept on calling me Captain, so I was just like, whatever.
We're gonk.
I started with Bounty Hunter right out of the gate, and I feel like I made a lucky choice, because you start with the booster pack.
Yeah.
And the ability is that. You start with thrusters. You start with targeting systems. Like, all of...
I need to do Bounty Hunter.
Like, all of the early game, like... inconveniences are bypassed by just having the bounty hunter.
Give it to Ham.
Well, for Space Scoundrel, one of their starting things is persuade, and I love doing persuasion checks.
That's
and
what
stuff
I've been
in games.
That's one of the highlights of this game for me, where it shines, is the persuasion minigame. I've had a lot more fun with that than in Elder Scrolls
but
and stuff.
But my critique of that is like a lot of the answers are like kind of generic. Yeah. They're like, just go with me on this. And they're like, oh, okay. And then it might give you that same exact prompt again.
I feel like one of the big complaints about Fallout 4 was the dialogue being very Fallout 4-y, where no matter what you picked, it kind of led to a positive decision.
A little bit like that.
I feel like it, yeah.
But I feel like I have more of a choice.
I feel like I do too, but like I try to exhaust all the dialogue options when I'm talking with someone, and it always just ends up in the same loop, basically, yeah. And then I just continue, and it's like, oh, everything's all happy and cheery.
So, let me know if I'm, Kirk, you want to go ahead, say what you got
to
say.
Oh, well, on that token, about like every choice leading to the same conclusion, a certain cruise ship mission when you're in the Crimson Fleet, I felt like just everything was set up to be this multi-branched like space spy adventure thing that you were doing, but it kind of fell flat, and I felt like, wow, they just really railroaded us on this
part. Where you have to steal something for somebody there.
I picked, you know, there was this part where it's like, oh, well, you have to get this pass from the keeper of the safe, so I actually stole the key card from the keeper of the safe and found that it was completely useless to do so.
Yeah.
You know, there were so many things that it gave you the illusion that there was a lot of an undertaking there, but it ultimately just railroaded you into a confrontation at the end that you can't really get out of.
Yeah. For me in that quest, I just persuaded her. I just go, just give me the damn thing. And she's like, okay, I don't know who you are, stranger, but I guess I'll give it to you.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually ended up doing that too. After trying to like pickpocket and get all the stuff at the end of the day, it was just a persuasion check, just railroaded.
So I feel like this game, I feel like there have, you know, there. It seems like it's standard Bethesda, but things have... Like, I think No Man's Sky, the fact of No Man's Sky where you can, like, leave a planet and then simultaneously, you know, it just seamlessly go into a planet, explore, get out, you know, of your ship, explore, then get back on your ship, go into space, dogfight. I think that has sort of soured people's opinion on Starfield. And I also think, like, Outer Worlds, mm-hmm. you know, and you've played Outer Worlds, yeah. right? Like, that game is so immersive, you know, as far as...
That's my main gripe.
You can take out, like, I remember I played that a little bit. I took out like the leader of that town and everyone was against me and like, okay, now this is the story, I guess. You know? Yeah.
I love Bethesda games because I love the ability to just walk around and always encounter something interesting. Like sometimes I just walk around Bethesda games. I like to just be immersed.
Yeah.
And when you're in the shit in this game, it's great. Mm-hmm. It can be very immersive, but it feels so fragmented and segmented that those pieces are locked between. I saved a couple of Reddit comments I want to read through.
Oh, great.
That really articulate what I'm feeling. So bear with me. These are a couple of paragraphs.
They're actually from 4chan.
No, I was not on
that.
The 4chan. Okay, this guy said, one thing that concerns me that I fear a lot of people miss is the main goal of capitalists, at least in their... Oh, wait, hold on.
Whoa.
Okay,
wrong.
Far too long, America's top executives, Wall Street trade... Hold on. Okay, that's the thing, though. The best part of Elder Scrolls and Fallout is the exploration, and they kind of ruined it in Starfield. I really think that's the game's fatal flaw. In Skyrim and Fallout, you walk across the map to a place and randomly stumble upon bespoke, unique named caves and towns and buildings with their own stories. In Starfield, you simply click on a planet and go straight to a spot. There is no accidentally stumbling upon interesting locations or encounters. The closest is the occasional person reaching out to you in space. When you do land on planets, it's a boring procedurally generated map with random cut and paste non-unique unnamed location like caves and mines. I'm still enjoying it for the most part, but for a game ostensibly about exploration, I don't feel like I'm actually exploring anything, and that's a huge letdown. Because you know me, Matt, Kirk, you probably know this, but I hate fast travel. I will walk across the entire Skyrim map because it feels immersive, it feels like I'm the character, and I always run into something interesting. This... Even with, like, in No Man's Sky, you could still do that. You would just fly to different planets. This is just menu click-throughs to preset locations where you do a fun task and then you just go to the next fun one. Like, a fun exploration game has its moments of action and then your peaceful walks to the next place where the pace is much slower and it helps you appreciate the rest of it. This feels like, here's another comment.
I wonder,
it feels like you're
though,
just rushing from location to location, but when you're just jumping from place, like,
and that can be fun
without going anywhere in between. Right. I was talking to another friend I have that's been playing this, I wish they would force you to, you can only land your ship on landing pads, and you have to go from point A to point B in person, rather than, oh, this part of the quest is over on the other side of the planet, and just immediately warping there and then going like 100 meters to it.
Like, in a linear, story-driven game, that can work. Like, in Halo, you don't see them flying from one planet to Earth to then a space station. You're just there, but it's fun. I feel like the appeal of a big adventure game like this is the freedom, and I feel like the freedom is lacking.
Do you think that has something to do with just manpower?
No, I think it's like there are people who like to play their games like that, where it's like, I want to get to the mission, I want to get to the thing, and I want to have fun, and then I'm on to the next one. I don't want to be immersed.
I like the immersion. So what I'm doing to combat that kind of is, if I'm going, if I'm gravity driving from one system to another, I will, instead of just jumping straight to the farthest system, like where I'm ending up going, I'll like start just skipping to
hopscotch
and stop in every single spot.
I've shoehorned little rules for myself that, like, I don't, if I am going to a planet, I don't just automatically land on the location I'm outside. I get up from the ship, I walk to the back, I always go out the door, like down the ramp. I want it to feel like I have a real spaceship, not just like a vessel for hitting different menus.
And you encounter a lot more stuff. There's a lot more dogfights that you could get into that way. I feel it's a better experience.
Yeah, something.
So you're saying you have the ability just to go from planet to planet, but you would rather,
or even system to system.
System to system. Yeah. But you would rather, hey, I'm going to take this ship into this system and then fly to the destination and then get off there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Something that you can do to, like, kind of help make it more immersive too with the space travel is, if you always keep your grav drive just powered down.
Yeah.
I
only have like one pip in my grav drive. Like, I never upgrade it, because it's like, why would I need to have the best thing to jump from across the galaxy to the other spot?
Well, it is good if you're dogfighting and you're outgunned and you're just trying to get out quick. Like,
oh yeah. It just immediately put as many pips in as you can.
Absolutely. So, yeah, like when you're trying to escape with a certain stolen ship sometimes, and you're caught and you have to just like grav drive out, or maybe save scum a little bit just because the timing's a little off.
Oh shit, I have contraband. I got to get out of here before they actually like come after me.
So there's definitely like a point to putting extra power in the grav drive, which I did like. I did like, in particular, too, that, you know, it kind of felt like FTL almost in that sense. Like, they use that same sort of system.
Mm-hmm.
But there wasn't... I also felt like there wasn't enough opportunity to engage with people in space either.
Yeah. I mean, you could hail people, but, like, kind of, you'll have a couple options anyways.
It also bothers me in a game that's supposed to be so, like, scientifically accurate and takes itself really seriously. Why is there sound in space?
That's your ship making those sounds.
Yeah, but when you go outside to the third-person view of the ship, you hear the whooshing of the fire and stuff, and, like, you hear ships fly past you, and it's like, what's making that noise? Unless they upgraded space in the future.
Space is upgraded, yeah.
It's like electric vehicles, how they pipe in engine noises.
I saved one more comment.
Oh.
We live in an oligarchy where the top 1% has bought all... Hold on. I think it's a huge slog because the world feels really small to me. I think it's because it's all gated behind constant fast travel screens. Most other Bethesda games have fast travel. But I think knowing I could manually move to any point in the map if I wanted to helped me to still appreciate their sizes. As you play those games, you gradually build a picture and layout of the land, even if you're mostly fast traveling. I feel like there's too many worlds that are all kind of the same.
Yeah.
Which is accurate, because they would be uninhabited and uninhabitable, basically. But it's like...
But all the terrains are kind of the same.
Right.
Like there's no, like, valleys. There's no, like, giant mountains or anything like that.
It would have been cool to condense this to just our solar system. And, like, we've colonized all 9 planets, including Pluto.
Which they call a planet in the game.
Yeah. And, like, you can skip between them, and they're all filled with, you know, full cities and lush light. Like, even New Atlantis, which looks cool... It just doesn't feel alive.
It's hard to navigate, too.
Yeah, I think I disagree. I think we could have. I think it could have been like 7-star systems.
Yeah.
Like they should have done like 7-star systems. Like, because definitely like we always hear about like Alpha Centauri. Like, oh, it's the nearest star. Like, that's an obvious one. And then just add like a few more. There was when you're jumping from one quest to another quest, even early game, you're bypassing like 7-8 star systems, and each one's got like, you know, 5 planets, and each planet has like a couple moons maybe. And it's mind-boggling, you know, to it's like that distance is incomprehensible, but then on top of that, you're just bypassing it in just an instant, and it's just meaningless too.
Since Microsoft owns Bethesda, you should be able to go to St. Helios. That's what I think. Do you agree, Trey?
I'm sorry?
Huh?
I was helping Matt out.
What? I'm dying in here.
He's too hot?
Yeah.
It's hot right here.
It gets hot here. I think it's just all the hardware.
I think it's you have one small vent for basically this entire room.
Yeah.
And it's a big room. You got a big place, bud.
Yeah, it's not a big place. I mean, it's fine.
You have 7 couches in here.
I know. It's crazy, huh?
I think I'm going to start Pikmin 4, and I'll pick up with Starfield maybe later. Maybe after the first big patch.
I'm very confused, like, how do those gears on the ship or the different engines, how do you even, like, manage those?
The ship flying is fun in some regards. It does leave a lot to be desired.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like you're kind of pigeonholed into this one view, and you got like 2 things you can do, which are they themselves are very fun, but I don't feel like I have full freedom like I would in a real spaceship.
Plus, a lot of the stuff in the ships are cosmetic only.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was my big thing that I didn't like was like there's a brig, but like you can't really put anybody in there, and like some of them have some utility, like you could have more like people on your crew in your ship that way, or you could have more passengers in your ship. But outside of that, like, it feels like they have it in there, but they intend to do more with it later. Like, I know this, I'll let you hop in, but like, I just want to mention, like, outposts were completely underwhelming. Like, they had this great system they had built in like Fallout 4, or even like Fallout 76, if you played that, where you could build whatever you want. And I felt like playing this, it's like a complete step back from those games, where it's like, hey, we have this feature just so we could throw it in there, but it sucks.
Do you think they just struggled figuring out how to, like, hey, we need to make this big, vast world, but how are we going to do with all these planets? And
I think they bit off more than they could chew.
Yeah.
I think they're like, oh, we're going to make this huge game, and then realize, like, there's not really enough content you can come up with for a game that
massive. Yeah, and I'm with Kirk. I don't think games need to be that big. You just make something that's dense, you know?
Yeah, and maybe they'll add more to it in DLC. But yeah, like, I love the game. I think it's an A-.
Okay.
Like, there's a lot more they could have done with it.
Another big gripe I have is the menus. There's so many click-throughs.
Yes.
That's something that can be easily patched and corrected. So I have faith that they'll change that. But it's so, I feel like I'm constantly pausing to go into my inventory, and then there's like 3
and then
clicks
you
got
to back out, you got back out. Okay.
And the star map is very confusing. Like, sometimes I'm in my ship and I can't access unless I point at the planet and click on it, and then, like, I don't know. I wish I could just fly. Like, I flew my first, like, hour, I flew straight up to a planet thinking I could just, like, oh, if I get close enough, it'll, like, land me, and it stopped. Like, it wasn't, the numbers weren't getting any smaller, and it was very JPEG-y. Like, I could see the artifacting on there, and I was like, well, this is very immersion-breaking, and I cried.
Yeah, like, and that's something they could have definitely done, is just made it a QuickTime event. If you get close enough to the planet, you'll land somewhere, and maybe even a little box comes up, and it's like, oh, quick, you're about to hit this planet, where are you going to land? And then you select it.
Or, yeah, you have to select if you want to actually, like, enter the atmosphere, and then they have, like, a graphic of, like, you, like, flying through the atmosphere and the fire and everything like that.
Which also is a letdown, because it means there's not actual spheres modeled in space that you're flying around. It's just a flat 2D disc.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there any positives? I mean, let's talk about some positives about the game. You know, like,
it's very fun. Yeah. I love the combat and everything like that. I love dog fighting. I wish, like, there was a preset.
Like Michael Vick.
Yeah,
That's kind of sick, dude.
Love the starship fighting.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I wish there was like an easier way to like maybe have presets for like, okay, I'm in battle mode. Mm-hmm. Because like in real time, it's kind of hard to like, I'm getting shot at. How am I going to maneuver it to not get shot at? And also, oh shit, I need to repair this like system. I got to move pips down. I got to put points into this or whatever.
Yeah, they could have easily like added some kind of VAT system for dogfighting where it's like, oh, or even, like, if you put enough points in this rank, like time will slow down.
Well, they do in targeting systems.
Yeah.
But it's like, okay, well, I wish you could do that like when you're not focused only on one ship maybe. Mm-hmm.
So here's one thing I really love about Starfield. You know, a lot of the time in old Elder Scrolls titles or Fallout, you'd spend so much time like preparing for battle, but like you'd have to just kind of trek across the country and find something. And, you know, you might find something, you might not. But Starfield, if you're looking for action, you want to like... You know, if you want a bounty or if you want to do a space fight or if you want to, you know, just find somewhere completely different, you can do that. And you can fast travel to it immediately. Like, you'll be there in an instant. And there's also no feeling that you'll ever run out of these things to do. Yes, they're like repeatable tasks. But I remember so many times in the Fallout series where I would think like, oh, maybe I should just hold off on exploring this particular supermarket for resources and like save that for later because, you know, I don't feel like I have to ration content as much in Starfield, which I think is a good improvement. It does feel very vast. Some of the things can be, you know, a little bit repetitive, but at the same time, you never feel like you're going to run out of things to do.
Yeah. I haven't found anything I've run out with. Also, one thing I love about the game is I love, like, if you do select, like, my first character was a space scoundrel, and, like, one of the things you start off with is pistols. I like how there's about, like, 12 different types of pistols you could have in the game. Like, it's not like, and I think this might be a problem with, like, if you do, like, a melee character. Because, like, I think there's only, like,
Two.
There's, like, two, yeah.
The rescue
but, like,
axe.
In terms of pistols and rifles and energy weapons, there's a ton.
So I do want to add on to that. I was going to say one more positive thing and then one more negative thing.
Okay.
I'm going to go ahead and say the negative thing because it relates to that. I wish they had gotten a little more creative with the weapon systems. I feel like...
In the planes? In their spaceships? Or
like
crafting?
The handheld gun. Like, we're 300 years in the future, and we have, like, shotgun, pistol, rifle, and a zapper gun. Like, I feel like they could have implemented some sort of, like, oh, everyone has some sort of, like, force pulse, and they can shoot lasers from their hands, and you can, like, command a swarm of drones if you want. Like, but it's just, it's like Halo weapons or, like...
Oh, just you wait till the late game.
I have seen the hand thing that you can do, but it feels...
How do you feel about that with the... Yeah, you know what? I mean, but see your positive thing, but I want to talk about story next.
Okay, It's a very pretty game. Looks 90% of the time, it looks great. It's beautiful. Sometimes I'm just in awe walking around at like the scale of stuff and how great it looks. The other 10%, sometimes the foliage looks like it's taken from Banjo-Kazooie.
Yeah.
If you're scanning stuff.
Yeah. Like, oh, I really like the scanning system. That's fun. I really like the skill system. That's very fun. Because as you level up, you have to do challenges to actually unlock the different things.
Yeah.
And then one more negative, all the people seem so stiff and lifeless, and I don't like that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, gosh. I talked about the Crimson Fleet thing earlier, but about scanning, like, I do like the fact that you could just be, like, a naturalist or a researcher, and you can make money in-game off of your scans.
Yeah.
And that's just, like, such a great improvement over a lot of systems that I've seen in the past.
Unless you find a bug in the game... And, like, you have to find a specific maggot to scan.
Oh,
and you
real
scan,
bug.
Like, not
like
a... Like
a bug.
Like a
like
computer
actual,
bug. Oh. Not like... I'm talking both bugs, actually.
Oh, okay.
This is where the game could have benefited from being much smaller scale if it was three or four systems where it's like, you land on a planet and it's like, find all four animals to scan on this planet.
And it's like, okay, but you have to scan so many, so you might be at 88%, and you need to find that one particular animal, and you might run around for like an hour on planet to try to find that one animal.
What if we had 15 planets with 70 animals on each or something? Then, like, then it feels like you're actually exploring a real ecosystem.
Or even have like a mini map.
Yeah.
Or like a compass where like you can see what is north, because like there's a couple times where it's like, okay, well, I want to go do this and I want to run there, but I don't know where the pinpoint is on my
map. Is north and south and east and west and magnetic fields exclusively an Earth thing, though?
I don't know.
Maybe it's not on other planets.
Mm. Also, they don't give you the option to switch to Fahrenheit in the game.
Ugh.
So like if I land on a planet, I don't know if I need to have like if I'm going to freeze on that planet, if I'm going to burn up on that planet. I don't know the Celsius system, Trey.
How did you feel about having to pick your pronouns, Matt?
I don't care.
I didn't even remember doing it. Like,
you didn't see that video of that guy?
I took my disc out, snapped it in half.
Yeah. So, no!
What did you think about the story of the game? Because I know you mentioned the Force thing, and I remember you saying you were a little worried about that.
Yeah, it like they don't cram it down your throat. Like in the game, like I got the abilities or whatever, but like I maybe used them like 3 times. I kind of forgot about them, honestly. Yeah.
It's the weirdest thing. Like you have like this awesome ass power, and you don't feel compelled in any way to use them, and you almost don't know the appropriate time to use them.
Yeah,
I actually remember the first time that I got the first power. And I was told to demonstrate it, and I did so. And my companion at the time, Andreja, disliked that. And she disliked it so much that she hated me. And I actually had to go. I had to go back and reset from the save before the first temple and do that shit all over again. And the first time was a magical experience, but the second time was like, my goodness, like, can I float a little faster, please?
Flying around from a little, yeah, that was an annoying little mini game they make you do every time you acquire new power.
Are these like dragon shouts from Skyrim?
Pretty much.
Okay, because those were, there were a ton of them. They were fun to level up.
There's like
and
23
I
different powers
all the time. Oh, really?
Wow. Yeah.
Oh, okay, but you don't feel compelled to use them as much?
I mean, I know there's one like that's a personal oxygen bubble and you don't basically don't run out of stamina, and you know there's different things like that that I haven't been able to unlock yet, but yeah, I mean there's definitely uses for some of them, but other ones like the gravity bubble one I think is the first one. It's like, if I'm going to piss off my party member by just doing it and potentially damage them, then, like, what's the point? Because they're always on my tail.
Yeah. I just stopped using companions because I didn't want to piss any of them off.
I actually did, too.
I've heard about that. Yeah, the companions are kind of...
Well, did we all pick empathy as the starting trait? Because does it really matter if you piss them off if you didn't pick empathetic or whatever?
I didn't pick it. And my second playthrough, I did introvert, and I just don't have any companions running around with me. Because, like, I kind of backdoored my way into being in the Crimson Fleet because the U.S. Youssef, or whatever the guy's name is.
Saad Youssef.
Yeah. He pissed me off in the game.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, okay, I don't want to be with the UC then. I guess I'll be Crimson Fleet. And then, like, no matter what I did, all my companions were mad at me when I, like, did the Crimson Fleet, like, storyline.
I don't
like
how.
Okay, well, fuck you. Like,
I don't like how much they've shoved companions down your throat in this game. Because normally,
do you
want to
flirt with them? Do you want to flirt with them? Do you want to flirt with them?
Yeah.
Like, no, I don't want to fuck any of the people in the game. I just want to play the game by myself.
In Fallout and Elder Scrolls, it's always like a, hey, there's always this little side thing you can do with the companions. If you want to grab one for a while, go ahead. This is like, hey, I'm traveling with you 30 minutes into the game. And
hey, I got something to give you. I got something to tell you. I got an update on something. Like,
everyone's too positive.
Yeah, it sucks.
One more positive thing about this game was free with Game Pass.
Yeah.
But I'm already paying for it, and I'm getting a bunch of other games. Like, I would feel much worse about this if I had paid $74 for it.
Yeah.
I paid $30 for early access, and honestly, No regrets there because it was Labor Day weekend.
Same.
And
no regrets.
My girlfriend was out of town. Nice. I know life that shit. And it was great. I did feel that Bethesda magic, like Christmas morning, again, my mid 30s heart was happy for quite a little while.
I said goodbye to my wife. I said, you're not going to be seeing me or talking to me in a while.
All right, to end this, I want your guys' final words and give it a rating.
How many planets do I give it?
How many planets out of
10,000 planets?
10,000.
I'm going to give it...
And final words as well.
I'm going to give it 5,500 planets. I don't feel like I can't even give it a 6 at this point. I've not... It's not gripped me enough to get far enough into it to appreciate it. I'll give it 6,000 planets.
For all its faults, I love it. There's a lot of stuff that they could improve on. I hope they improve on. They patch. I hope they add stuff into like DLC, like add more content and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But I love it. I've remade stuff that I love in real life.
Yeah, I know you told me to remind you to get
I made the Tumblr from the Dark Knight movies.
Yeah, of course you did.
And I also made a Batwing.
Of course you did. That's awesome.
And
I made
a ship
on Reddit.
No.
You should post those.
And I made a ship called the Precipice.
Oh, no
way.
Do you
think anyone's made a pee-pee ship with like a like a long shaft and like a couple of balls?
No.
Maybe? No one?
So
no one's
what
made
was
one?
Your rating?
A-.
Okay. Kirk?
You know, if you go into this, you know, thinking like, you know, I really liked Fallout, then you're going to have a really great time. I think this game, I like this game better than Fallout 4.
Wow.
For the faults that it had for base building and stuff, I didn't even really like those aspects of Fallout 4 anyway. As far as, you know, always being able to find action, always, you know, every single move that you make with your stat picks feels consequential in a way. You do level a lot slower than you'd expect, but there's never really a point where you feel too over leveled, too under leveled. There's always something around the corner, and I really love that about this game. Shipbuilding is fantastic.
Awesome. Yes.
Even though sometimes it doesn't always feel like you have a ton of stuff to do with your ship, like you still feel so much ownership in that. But then there's the downsides, you know. There's they could have done better with the Radiant AI, you know, where it feels like a game that's kind of stuck in the past. And it makes me wonder, hey, did Bethesda peak here? Is Skyrim the best that we're ever going to see in terms of technology from Bethesda? And, you know, that makes me a little bit worried. Like, is God Howard a little bit past his prime here? I see the imagination, I see the heart in Starfield, but at the same time, you know, at the end of the day, it's like between a 7 and an 8 for me, because there are places where it kind of falls short of other space games that have come before it, but you know, at the same time, it is a better game than its predecessors in a lot of ways.
You're forgetting about Elder Scrolls 6, Kirk. That's going to be peak Bethesda.
Is I kind of worry about that.
I'm a little bit worried about
it. Why? You want to go pick a nerd
because
route?
It's going to be in the creation engine again.
It's
and like,
four years from now.
I understand. Well, that's the thing. Like, they spent all this time, like, oh, we spent like a decade working on Creation Engine 2.
I think we can agree. Elder Scrolls 6 is the Fallout 76 of Starfield.
What?
Games.
Okay. I don't even know, man. Look, Matt's got to go. He's a very important person. We know that because he's wearing sunglasses inside.
Shut up.
He's falling apart.
I'm falling apart.
He is falling apart.
He's
dude.
Got eyeballs falling out.
I got itch
vomiting.
Eyeball. I got Twinkies coming out of me.
Jeez, dude, it's a mess.
Yeah, but anyway, it's a good game if you like Fallout and you want something better. But if you don't expect more, then it's gonna blow you away.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to playing it at some point.
He won't.
I will. Shut your mouth.
Three years from now.
Play Deathloop first.
I'm not playing that fucking shit. Matt, thank you so much for hanging out.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being on the podcast. Thank you for letting me help your show.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kirk.
Yep.
Thank you, Austin.
Yep, and this one goes out to Connor's dog.
Connor, RIP.
And don't forget, I predicted Starfield.
Kirk predicted
Starfield.
Kirk was
the only one who thought of Starfield.
Only one time it was going to happen.
Remember when that was announced and like everybody was like, oh, and I was right. I was right about the leaks, too. I remember the leaks back in the day.
Remember the WikiLeaks.
Even though everyone was talking about a Bethesda space game that was rumored for years and years and years, Kirk was the only one who had the balls to think of it.
Right.
At least on this podcast. All right,
we're done.
I did talk about Starfield before anyone.
Bye.
On this podcast. I had a dream that I was floating to your house in the summertime. I had a dream that I was 300 feet tall in the summertime. These visions, I can change them, sort and rearrange them. A world of understanding, which you have never seen before. I had a dream that I was floating to your house in the summertime. I had a dream that I was 300 feet tall in the summertime. How could I make you understand? We are radiant beams of light, shining bright even when we are small. In the fall. This is where it picks up. Snare coming in. This was good. Gets you hyped. People know the chorus by this point, so they can sing with you when you go. I had a dream that I was floating to your house in the summertime. Huh. Huh. I had a dream that I was 300 feet tall. When was it? Tell me. In the summertime. These visions, I can change them, sort and rearrange them. A world of understanding, which you have never seen before. I had a dream that I was floating to your house in the summertime. I had a dream that I was 300 feet tall in the summertime.